All right. It's Thursday in New York City. Welcome to Insight. My name is Mark Farrell. Very, very happy to be doing my final show. My final show? Why is it my final show? Because I found my true calling. My true calling is driving a wienermobile across the nation. Did you see that? The hot dog wiener company? Is it Oscar Mayer? I forget who it was, Alex. But they're posting all over the web. You can drive like a giant station wagon with an even bigger wiener on top of it. Yes, there are a lot of jokes there, and we're not going to touch them. Well, maybe we will, kind of. And so I figured this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say to my wife and kids, listen, I'm going to take a sabbatical, take 3 or 4 weeks and drive across the country and do my wiener thing. You know, expose it. You know, what I used to do before I was married and had 2 kids and a mortgage. Anyway, welcome to Thursday, the best day of the week. Everything's possible. Weekend's on tap. And we didn't get snowed in like we were frightened. I think we all got bamboozled on the East Coast. If you're not on the East Coast, good for you. Let's come visit. Got a great show coming your way. Mindy Shire is president and founder of Runway of Dreams. And Runway of Dreams is an amazing, miraculous organization. They put persons with disabilities in front of the world to see, to make them feel like they should feel whole, warm, positive, confident. Because New York is the number one location in the United States for fashion, second only to, I guess, Paris. But in the United States, it's certainly New York City, the Big Apple. And that's where it's located. We're going to meet Mindy and hear about her amazing story, about her 20 years plus in the fashion industry. So it's not like she just started this organization on a whim because her son has muscular dystrophy. Nope. She's got worlds of experience, and she has put all this together, a confluence of events to make this magical experience called Runway of Dreams come to life. Always welcome your calls, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. A couple quick things I want to talk about. As a man, I always like to advocate for other men because a lot of guys don't speak. They're in their cave. Anyway, diaper changing tables. Come to New York City soon, buy a theater near you. Yes, we'll be able to change our kids, even though I'm out of the kid scene. No more. If I was younger, I would, but not now. Two's enough when you're 52. No more diaper changing for me. But if I did have to change a diaper, I have a choice. I have an alternative right now. I don't have to hand my little toddler off to my wife because they have passed an ordinance that in New York City, that all restaurants and facilities, I forget the exact fine print, will have to have an accommodation, some sort of changing table. And I think that's great news because why should a woman be saddled with changing a diaper? Well, yeah, for obvious reasons. Who wants this change? You know, the obvious, whatever. Yeah, exactly. That full-blown thing that's powerful and lethal and atomic. But we have to share the responsibilities, right? So that's a pretty cool thing. Concerts. Are you psyched for 2019? The lineup of festivals and even Woodstock. Yes, can you believe Woodstock celebrating 50 years? I know you're 30 years young and you don't remember Woodstock. You have to read up and Google it as I speak. W-O-O-D-S-T. Okay, you got it. So The Who may be leading this. Pearl Jam may be on deck. And a lot of other great bands. So it's going to be in Bethel, New York. It's going to be happening for 3 days. I am really, really stoked. I'm asking my wife to channel her 20-year-old self so we can drop off the kids somewhere. But you know what? Again, it's all about love and the experience. So maybe we'll just give them some edibles for a day. No, I didn't say that. Anyway, we'll be responsible parents, but I'm very, very psyched about Woodstock. It's pretty interesting. And I was actually speaking with a I'm actually going to announce something big I'm working on, an event, which I can't divulge right now. But anyway, I was speaking with an organization who may be a sponsor of this event. And they said they actually have been asked by Woodstock to go there and present, to have like a mental health tent, because there will be people there who will be doing more than just edibles, because, you know, it's just part of the scene. And people have certain reactions to different things. And obviously anyone with any sort of mental health disorder or just does something that just goes the wrong way, has a bad trip, whatever. So they would be on hand. So that's one component, I think, of Woodstock that can go in so many different ways. TED Talks, I was reading about. There would be so many different avenues that technology can be a part of the festival. Of course, music is the main drive and the hub and the force and the driving force of Woodstock. But peripherally speaking, We could have even our guest here. We could even have Runway of Dreams. We're going to be talking about that. Maybe have a tent there and have a catwalk. Why not? I mean, yes, the Woodstock experience was something very, very unique, but continue its uniqueness. Think totally out of the box. I would love to be involved and be on the board of that. Also want to talk to you about something quickly about decluttering, because everywhere you go online with the new year, 2019, two things. Number one, they say by the 16th day of January, most people, I forget the exact percentage, have bailed, quit, failed on their New Year's resolution. I know that's not you because you're a progressive person. That's why you listen to PRN, PRN, wink, wink. But it's interesting to see how they came up with this exact scenario and odds and study. But I know that it certainly takes about 3 weeks to make or break a habit. So hang in there if you're having some trouble. I want to report on something that I did. I have an office in my house with my speaking business. When I'm not on the road or doing radio, I'm there doing marketing, sales, bills, etc. And it becomes a little bit of a mess, a tad of a mess. So my one big thing is, and I tell this on stage because we all have things that we procrastinate about. And the actual fear of the event is larger than the event itself. You've heard that before, but it's very, very true. So I have this one corner of my office that just is a paper pile of like pizza. It just gets higher and higher and higher. If there was a wind to be blown, it would just fall over. So I tackled it. I tackled the whole office. I'm making it a recording studio, everything. It's like brand new. Love it. It's comfortable. My family wants to hang out in there. Unfortunately, they're not allowed. I'm actually going to be putting a lock on there. I actually am going to be putting a lock because recording equipment. I don't want my kids' friends to be being like, hey, with their grape juice. Anyway, so that's my goal, and I accomplished it for the first couple weeks of January. So I just want to provide you with motivation. So just make sure, stay steadfast. Just chip away a little bit at a time. Whatever it is, whether it's weight loss, weight management, whether it's just writing down what you need to do, and thinking about it, researching it. If it's weight loss, writing down what you eat, what your intake is for a week. Exercise, maybe making your friend, a pack with a friend to go to the gym once a week, not five times a week. Don't burn out. Don't overdo it. Or whether it's tackling those bills and stuff and or getting ready for tax season of 2018 when we file before April, which the good news is no matter whether the government is open or shut, we will get our refunds. That is the good news. Runway of Dreams was the epiphany of Mindy Shire. Mindy Shire is a dear person, radiant, full of positivity, creative, and an advocate for persons with disabilities. She's this way because I'm sure in her heart, she's innately a great person. But when it touches your home front, when it's part of your family, you have no choice. And it makes you a stronger family, makes you a stronger parent, at parenting as a unit, as a couple. And sometimes, most often, parents do something even greater. The bigger purpose of this, create awareness and education and maybe even a greater platform for persons to see. And she's done this with the founding of Runway of Dreams. Mindy Shire, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
I love those locks of hair.
Thank you.
Wow. I just want to be like, whoa, are those real? Of course they are, but you know, it's just an excuse to touch them. Who would imagine 20 years ago when you're starting in the fashion industry, number one, that you would get married because you're such a hot commodity because you want to keep those guys away, right? I want to play the field and bring me that roll of fabric. As a matter of fact, a side story, when I was walking down the street here in the pouring rain, this woman was running down the street with a huge, it's probably not called a roll of fabric, but I'll call it a roll of fabric. And I just kept thinking, like, Devil Wears Prada. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, she's going to be running into the hallway, getting off the elevator, and like, are you kidding? This is wet. You're fired. Get out of here. Never want to see you again. Anyway, you're early in your fashion industry. Years go on. You have a family. Things are great. And you have a son, Oliver. What a great name.
Thank you.
What a name of strength.
And it is. It has served him well. He's 14 now.
14.
Yeah.
Wow. What a good looking boy. And he has muscular dystrophy that doesn't hold him back.
Correct. We don't allow it.
Good. And why should you?
Yes.
You raise them like you raise your other three children.
That's correct.
Good for you.
Thank you.
And you had the epiphany to start something greater than you probably even envisioned, because you parceled all this experience of being in the fashion industry, and also you started a school, which we'll get to. But talk about the actual concept and how it came to you of Runway of Dreams.
Well, I think you said it so perfectly in your introduction, is that as a parent, when one of your children needs something, it's instinct to solve that problem for them when you can. So when Oliver was born, we knew something was wrong pretty much from the get-go. If he wasn't my second, I don't think I would have been as clued in that he should have been hitting certain milestones. But we learned very early on that he was going to struggle with everyday tasks, one of which was dressing himself. And, you know, the irony of it is that I think about what I'm going to wear the night before every single day, and it's probably
on your calendar a month out.
I can't wait to get dressed every morning. And so now I have a child that it was a daily reminder of not only his struggles, but of something that he couldn't do, that his brother and sister could do within 30 seconds. It took him so long to do the exact same task, such as button his shirt.
And something that we all take for granted.
Absolutely. And here I was in the fashion industry, and I had never even thought of, been exposed to, really understood how difficult something like this could be until Oliver came into our life. So when he started school, our solve, my husband and I, was that he wore sweatpants every day, because it was the only way that, number one, we knew he could go to the bathroom on his own in school, and number two, that he could fit his leg braces underneath the garment. And one day when he was 8, he came home and he said, Mom, I want to wear jeans to school tomorrow. And it was...
is every kid's rite of passage.
Absolutely.
And Levi's out, even though you probably wouldn't have bought him Levi's.
Oh, no, Levi's were very
jeans.
Cool.
No,
totally.
Okay, cool.
Still very relevant.
Sporting them on. Good.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt like I had been hit in the stomach. Like, I could not believe, how did I miss this? How did I not realize that how his choices of what he got to wear, which he had none, it was the same thing every day, were so relevant to him. It was a direct correlation to how he felt. And wearing sweatpants every day, even though he was a boy and that could be, you know, very typical, was a reminder to him yet again that he didn't get to do what everybody else got to do.
Of his difference.
Exactly. So that night, I ripped apart a pair of jeans and kind of went into our little craft closet and utilized what I had, which was peel and stick Velcro, some rubber bands, and I cut up those jeans and figured out a way that he would be able to take them up and down on his own without having to unbutton them, without having to zipper them. I cut up the side seam of the pant leg, put that peel and stick Velcro in there so that it could go around his leg braces. And when he woke up the next morning and I showed him at best what was an arts and crafts project, he absolutely beamed with joy. It was such a clear level of confidence that came over him that not only was he going to be able to wear jeans, but he dressed himself in them.
Independence. No greater feeling.
Exactly.
Wow. Good for you, Mom.
It was such an
just like that
unbelievable aha moment that it changed the course of my life. It really, really did, because it immediately made me think that if this pair of jeans so dramatically changed how he felt about himself, I couldn't imagine how clothing could make the millions and millions of other people out there feel when they started their day.
I would imagine that you would have probably rushed to the internet to see that there's probably companies out there that exist and make clothes like this. And
absolutely.
Then you were hit with the realization, whoa, there's nothing out there.
Exactly. I didn't even necessarily know what to even search. I mean, I searched adaptive clothing because I had heard that's what it was called. And exactly as you said, I could not believe what I saw. Number one, it was mostly everything that came up was for the elderly. that was closed.
Which
that
is certainly not fly.
Exactly. And that it was very medicinal and very purposeful, but it wasn't stylish in any way, shape, or form.
Back then, I imagine it was obviously very early on.
Yes.
There was a company that I read about a year or two ago called something Jeans.
Able Jeans?
Able Jeans.
Yes.
But they weren't even around then.
They may not have been, but I actually know the founder of that company. And
she's
they also,
great.
She's
she was on
awesome.
A show here. Awesome.
Stephanie.
West Coast, yeah, yeah. Stephanie Alves or something?
Yes. Yes. She's amazing. And it's a very small community, obviously.
Yeah.
People that are really working in this demographic and trying to make change happen. And it was such a gift to be able to speak to people like Stephanie that had created this product. But what Oliver was communicating to me was that he wanted to be able to wear the same thing that everybody else got to wear. He wanted to wear those Levi's. He wanted to wear 7 jeans and mainstream brands. So at the time, you know, I was at a crossroads in terms of I had the background to be able to design my own line, or I could have this tiny little goal of trying to change the fashion industry and go after mainstream brands.
A little bit of a lofty goal.
Yeah, lofty.
But there's no better reward than seeing your son succeed and beam and fit in.
Absolutely. But even equally as important, I shouldn't say more important, equally as important were the millions of other people out there that had the same struggles with different types of disabilities that I needed to understand, to touch, to be involved in. And so when I decided that I was going to go after mainstream brands, I better know what I'm talking about. So I took the first year to only do research. I went full force into the world of disability because I only knew what I knew from my world with
mm-hmm.
Oliver.
Sure.
I did not know the seated body, those that had limb differences or Down syndrome or autism or the millions and millions of other disabilities out there, could I find commonality between them all so that I could then go to the fashion industry and say, guess what? I have found a way that we could include the almost 60 million people in the United States alone, 1 billion people globally.
With disposable income. That need this.
Exactly.
It's not like a luxury. This is everyday necessities.
Absolutely. This is a behind food and shelter. Clothing is right there. It is not a, well, maybe I'll get dressed today. It is a have to. So I was thankfully able through focus groups and surveys and going to hospitals and schools
wow.
and facilities
great.
To find commonality in terms of clothing challenges and people with disabilities.
And as we know, you know, disabilities run the gamut.
Correct.
So I imagine it must have been very difficult to kind of hone down on, you know, with certain disabilities, somebody is a quadriplegic, paraplegic, what apparel and what limitations do you go to what extent? Because obviously there's caregivers involved. So do you take that into consideration?
Absolutely.
And there's so many different moving parts.
Absolutely. And yes, caregivers, PTs, OTs were very involved in my research because they're really on the front lines of the part of the population that's never going to be able to dress themselves. So what I decided to focus on was ways to make it easier. Was it going to be perfect for every type of disability out there? Maybe not, but could it make their life easier? Absolutely. So I was able to extrapolate from the data that it was 3 categories that were affected across the board with such different types of disabilities. The first one was the closures used. So buttons, snaps, zippers, hook and eyes were a great challenge.
Gone.
Gone. So finding ways to close the garments easier.
And securely.
And securely was the first category. The second category was making the clothing adjustable. So pant lengths, sleeve lengths, waistbands could be adjustable to fit such different shaped bodies. And the third category was finding alternate ways to get the clothing on and off the body. So for example, putting something over your head, if you have low muscle tone, hyper muscle tone, which means that your muscles are very
constricted,
exactly, or you had a limb difference. That simple task of putting something over your head is a very
sure,
difficult
limiting, yeah.
task. So going into the garment through the back and arms first and having it close in the back was an immediate solve for that. Where, and then in it could look in the front just like what everybody else was wearing, which was a key to the development of this, that I needed to keep the same look and feel as what everybody else
was
wearing.
Of course. Well, aesthetics are everything in the fashion industry. It doesn't have to be comfortable. As a matter of fact, the probably more uncomfortable it is, the better it looks. Right?
For me, anyway.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
You think these shoes are easy to wear?
Wow. We're going to have to get a picture of those. Wow. Look at these. I love them. Just got them. We'll talk later.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. That's amazing. Sample pool of people and research that you did to conduct that. And when did you realize, okay, this is one component of it, and then we're going to do something to make recipients everyday people? Because disabilities don't I've been up since 4.
Discriminate.
Socioeconomic.
Exactly.
Racial. Gender, you name it, right across the board. It doesn't discriminate. So here we are, millions of people, 60 million people in the U.S. How do you break it down? And then when you decide you're going to have Runway of Dreams, what different events and what platforms can you provide to give people opportunities to feel just great about themselves?
So we started with the adaptive product and finding modifications that could be implemented into mainstream clothing. Fortunately, in 2016, we partnered with Tommy Hilfiger to create the first ever mainstream adaptive clothing line, which then has now turned into Tommy Adaptive.
And that made very big headlines back then. That was huge, and we covered it here on the show.
Yes, thank you for that.
Welcome.
But now, thankfully, other brands are in the game. Target, their Cat and Jack line, has now an adaptive version. Nike created the FlyEase sneaker.
Was that hard to get Nike on board?
Well, they were developing it on their own.
They were great.
So what became important for Runway Dreams was to be the catalyst, to start this tidal wave so that other brands can see that this is not only the right thing to do, but it's a huge business opportunity.
It's a win.
It's a win. Zappos now has Zappos Adaptive, which I'm fortunate enough to be on their...
That's gargantuan.
Exactly. Their council to help create that.
And you're teaming up for a conference in Vegas, which we'll talk about momentarily in March,
yes,
March 27th.
But now that the ball is rolling, so to speak, I mean, yes, we have a long way to go. But what that has created was that there's so much more opportunity within the umbrella of the fashion industry. So even from the perspective of when you create a new clothing line, somebody has to be the fit model. Somebody has to wear it on the runway to be in ad campaigns. And the only people that could really do that are people with disabilities.
That's great. So it's employment.
Exactly.
It's opportunities.
Exactly.
I never even wrapped my head around that.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Yes. So we are really working to expose people with disabilities and all of those opportunities, because right now 80% of people with disabilities are unemployed. 80.
That's a huge number.
And if we can, through the creation and the development of this category of adaptive clothing, we're creating opportunities of employment. We are inspiring students in universities who are working to, in their studies, create adaptive solutions and designs. So we created scholarship programs through the foundation to help this next generation continue this on, because if we are really going to make change happen, we have to make a change through the product,
propel
through
the future generations.
The future generations. And that's really what the foundation is working on.
Did you have a pre-existing relationship with Tommy Hilfiger?
I did not.
Wow, good for you.
I did not. I really utilized...
Was it a hard sell? Everything's a hard sell.
The hardest sell, so to speak, was to get through the door. And this is a kind of an interesting path that wasn't my original plan. I had actually wanted to be a for-profit with Runway of Dreams, because I felt that this was a business opportunity, and that if we were going to make change happen, we needed to be a for-profit. But what I found out really quickly was for a never served population and that this had never been done in the industry, I had to prove that there was a market. There was a viable market to do that. And the best way to do that was to take the monetary aspect off the table. Nobody was willing to take a chance on something that was never done before. But the second I became a nonprofit, that even if it all fell to – am I allowed to curse?
Please.
Okay.
F-bombs.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. If it all fell to shit, at least anybody that took a chance on us was going to get a tax deduction.
Yes.
So once I became a nonprofit, doors started opening.
Interesting. So I imagine when Tommy Hilfiger came aboard, it made it easier to say.
Much easier.
Great.
Much easier. But I have to give them so much credit because they still did take a chance.
Yes.
And they are now pioneers in this movement. They are the leaders really
now. And it has been in the forefront.
Yeah.
I mean, for decades.
Exactly. So I feel fortunate that I was able to partner with them at that crossroads.
We're going to take a look at a video of founder Mindy Shire. I'm thinking of the actress.
Meyer.
Myra. Isn't there a famous actress, Myra Shire?
Something like that.
Anyway, take a look at this clip. If you're on Facebook Live, make sure you go onto the Progressive Network page and enjoy.
I am a fashion designer by trade and the mom of three beautiful kids. My middle child, Oliver, was born with a rare form of muscular dystrophy.
Mother and fashion designer, Mindy Shire, whose son, Oliver, has rigid spine muscular dystrophy and dreamt about wearing jeans to school.
Do I let him go into school knowing that he wasn't going to be able to go to the bathroom on his own? Or do I tell my 8-year-old that he can't wear the same things as the other kids were wearing?
The mission of Runway of Dreams and the reason why I created it was so that we could partner with brands to add modifications to their existing clothing, their mainstream clothing.
Through her nonprofit organization called Runway of Dreams, Mindy Shire is changing many lives one outfit at a time.
It's a truly unique community that just really wants to be represented.
Fashion holds the key to a vital lifeline. Clothing can be transformative. Clothing equals confidence.
The future of fashion is inclusion. Mainstream media and fashion and entertainment needs to be inclusive of people with disabilities.
Runway of Dreams is so honored and excited to show the world the consumers that have not yet been thought of. And now they're here, they're on our runways, and we're not stopping.
Good. There you go.
I've been in the chair around like 6 years, but I haven't let the chair stop me from accomplishing any of my goals. I'm grateful for the lessons the wheelchair or the disability has taught me.
It takes a lot more effort for me to do things now. That's why the clothing I wear, I want it to be comfortable, I want to feel sexy in it, I want to feel good about myself.
As great as it is to embrace having a disability, and I've said it since day one of the accident, a goal of mine is to be able to live my life as if I didn't. To lead a normal life, even if it's going to be a new normal.
When I enter a room, I know people are going to automatically see my legs. I make sure it either has lights or colors. Yeah, because I spent so much of my life hiding. It's time to make it a show now.
When I look at the photos of myself, I think they're really good. I don't know, I don't think I really look that well.
I consider myself a very hard worker. I won't stop until I accomplish my dreams.
Before being looked at as an able-bodied person, you know, society looks at you different. Now being in a wheelchair, society looks at you also different. But it's kind of strange because I'm the same person.
Fast, moving free. There is no honor better than
was born missing the lower half of my right arm. I never met kids that looked like me or had limb differences. I definitely didn't see them on TV or in magazines or anything. If I would have seen people on TV that looked like me, it would have drastically changed how I thought of myself.
Not being one that grew up with a disability, you know, I have a different perspective from it, right? I felt like a part of my identity was taken away, but it really wasn't. My identity is still who I am. It was just a part of my body was taken from me, that's all.
I'm unique, I'm different, and I'm happy for it. To me, my prosthetic isn't a handicap. Without it, I wouldn't be able to walk from this, but it's just a tool that I have to use. Yes, so I dress it.
He's gorgeous, gorgeous looking guy. And on top of that, he shows that prosthetic. He's just like, this is a part of me. And that is what's hot. That's what's sexy to me. No matter what shape, sizes, or disability, we're all beautiful people. And we want to show that on the inside and on the outside.
Wouldn't change myself because I think myself is beautiful and I like the way I am. Because it's me.
When there's more exposure of individuals, regardless of their disability, like with a prosthetic, in a wheelchair, to put them in the limelight is going to boost the morale to be like, I can be beautiful too.
It's not something you should feel embarrassed or ashamed of because you're different. You could use that to make yourself look cool. You could own it. Stop me
now. Modeling for me is not only empowering, but also groundbreaking. I think when you're just given a platform, it's great to use it for something you're passionate about, but also something that other people care about that will eventually change a whole industry or even the world.
Be different. Be unique. Don't be like everyone else. It's okay to be you and strive for greatness. Anything you dream about, you can do. That's what I want to be, a role model, not just a fashion model.
Runway of Dreams. If you weren't able to see that, log on to runwayofdreams.org, runwayofdreams.org, and click on the media tab, and it's the first video on the left. Incredibly well done. I'm verklempt. I'm overjoyed. I want to be on the stage. I want to produce videos. I want to make clothing. I'm on board. You sold me.
Great.
Really well done.
You're welcome.
Wow. My God. Just tremendous work on every level. And my first question is, how did you find all these incredible, beautiful people?
Well, the amazing part of being in the population of people with disabilities is that they are so willing and able to share and be vocal and to communicate. I have only sent out casting calls or just communications on Facebook, and I get hundreds and hundreds of responses. And everybody is more amazing than the person before.
It's a small community of 60 million people, but the word spreads quickly like fire, wildfire. Because you know what? It's interesting. When I get together with some visually impaired friends, we're always comparing iPhone and digital devices, what works better, text size, readable technology, et cetera. So there's so much information to share and pass along. And we all know, regardless of, I say everyone has a disability. It may not be obvious, but it's the way we think, the way we act. And it's just a matter of time before you may need adaptive clothing.
Absolutely. Even but, just the aging population.
Yes. The boomers. I mean, gargantuan the community. But the disabled community, they look out for each other.
Yes, they do.
And that's a beautiful aspect of
that. Yes.
Because if there's no other part of humanity that just transcends everything, it's right there in that community.
Yes, correct.
So yeah, some vital programs I want to talk about that Runway of Dreams has. One of them is your apparel program, which of course provides apparel.
Yes.
Tell us about that, please.
So there's always going to be part of the population that's never going to be able to afford adaptive products. So we do a donation program that we have partnered with, I believe, over 30 hospitals across the country, that we donate out the product that's been adaptive to them, as well as facilities that really help with people with disabilities, and we get them the product that they need, as well as an emerging program, which is a wardrobe grant program that is more focused on individual families or smaller facilities that we can grant money to so they can purchase adaptive clothing.
Wow. That alone, that concept. I mean, how much inventory are you providing in a year?
Well, we really work with the brands. I mean, that's like kind of the beautiful part about what we do is that we develop the modifications that now the industry is using. So they are doing the production. It is the same that everybody else is wearing, the same distribution. So we get donation from them.
I imagine the feedback and the stories you must receive when individuals receive their garments must be just, you know, you come home, how's your day again? Well, you're not going to believe this.
Exactly.
Isn't that great?
It is. It never gets old. It
propels you.
Be able to be a part of somebody's story in that this person has never been able to dress themselves before and now they can. There are no words. Just to have been a part of changing their life while they live it is indescribable.
I mean, Runway of Dreams is giving opportunities for someone with a disability to go to a wedding, to get engaged and wear something they want to wear, to go on their honeymoon, to go to a job interview.
Exactly.
To sit by the pool, whatever the case may be, without struggling and or contemplating what possibly can I fit into.
Exactly.
And manage to get by with. Another vital program, Shine a Light, involves some well-knowns as well.
Yes, yeah, so we really work very hard to just raise awareness to the need for adaptive clothing so that more of the industry gets behind this. And that just really involves getting the population involved, as you saw from the video. I mean, we couldn't do anything through Runway Dreams without involving the community. I really couldn't design for them without them being, you know, having our shows, our runway shows, our ad campaigns with major brands has to involve people with disabilities. And that's really where I think Runway Dreams has a point of difference in that we stand for all disabilities. We are not focused on just muscular dystrophy or just cognitive disabilities. We are really trying to be the voice for all disabilities.
And that's huge. And I have we have discussions like this all the time with different speakers and different organizations that I speak for, because one organization will say, well, I know you represent and speak for X. Can you? I said, listen, we all have the same mission. And I have no problem speaking for your organization because we want to benefit people.
Yes.
And every organization should be, if they're working in alignment or not in alignment, have the same mission and not be so concerned about, you know, who's doing what for whom.
Exactly. It's really, we're trying very hard to break down silos. We want to work with all organizations, you know, from cerebral palsy to autism. I mean, they have our constituents. We want to be able to provide product to everybody and not just specific disabilities.
Was there any outreach that was needed for Runway of Dreams in the infancy in terms of saying, okay, here's what we have. We have a catalog of clothing or soon to be, and we'd like to partner with you and be able to provide, or did they actually come to you?
In terms of the brands?
Not so much the brand, in terms of consumers. Like you were saying, you ship it out to certain hospitals, et cetera. Was that an initiative that took a lot of work, and or was it, how was that decided without getting too complicated?
It really, we just reached out to as many collaborations. I mean, we thankfully got involved with Shriners Hospitals, which has children's hospitals across the country for more poverty level constituents. And we really felt that they for sure needed the product. So we are just trying to grow that as much as we can to really make sure that the product's getting in the hands of those that really need it.
And everything I imagine is underscored with dream.
Yes.
And Runway of Dreams. And you have another program called Fulfill Your Dreams, Fulfill Your Dreams. And that, again, encapsulates everything that you do, the clothing that is made that can be worn and experienced.
Yeah, so we very much believe in the next generation because that we need them to continue it on so that someday conversations like this don't even need to happen because adaptive product is just a different fit, no different from...
It's just a different website.
Plus size and petite and maternity is just a different shaped body. And the best way to do that is to be able to empower the next generation of designers. So we do scholarship programs with students that are either dedicating their studies to adaptive clothing or products or students that have a disability that want to get involved in the fashion industry.
I imagine you get a lot of solicitations from students or people located in the middle of the United States saying, how can I be a part of Runway of Dreams? This is something that I never knew existed and just has redefined my life.
Yes. Oh, I hope it. I would love that to happen. And we do get just incredible requests and beautiful emails about how to get involved. And I would say the easiest and simplest way is, first of all, we would love people to go to runwaydreams.org and really learn about us, but is to have conversations about it, to think about tomorrow morning when you get dressed, think about the fact how easy it is for you or how difficult it is for you to get dressed and what that must mean. And so therefore, the more people that we get to be involved in Runway of Dreams, the bigger tidal wave we can create, and so that the industry will continue to think and involve people with disabilities so that it does become a mainstream notion.
I think this is akin to the advent of the internet. Hang on with me.
Oh.
Because think about this. A person with a disability, and I hate to say confined, but really restricted, possibly in some situations. Think about maybe, I'll use the Midwest as an example again. 30 years ago, couldn't go to school, possibly isolated, etc. Now this person can have the world at their fingertips, can get a master's degree, mm-hmm. a doctorate, can order clothes online that fit them. So the comparison I want to draw is that their worlds have become so much more comfortable and practical and doable.
Yes.
And more like it should be for
them. Absolutely. It should just become part of our mainstream culture. It really needs to be just a different fit in the industry.
So if you think about 5 years ago and where you are right now, I mean, you've grown leaps and bounds. Had you decided and or determined or would have... Back up a second, Mark. Could you actually have guessed 5 years ago where you'd be right now and to have all these different programs, products, and events?
I am still in awe of it every day and feel incredibly lucky, but I'm sure a lot of your listeners will relate to this. But when you have nothing to lose, when it is something that I will and dedicate my life to doing, I was not stopping until it happened. So I guess in a way I can say, yes, I can believe it because I didn't have anything to lose. It couldn't get worse than it was. So I was going full steam ahead no matter what. I was going to make this happen.
And here you are full steam ahead at a TED Talk in Europe.
It was in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Mindy Shire, president and founder of Runway of Dreams.
And I am the founder of Runway of Dreams. It is my absolute honor to welcome you all to our fashion revolution, kicking off New York Fashion Week. New York Fashion Week is iconic. It brings together designers, models, and the who's who in the fashion entertainment industry. But tonight, we're the who's who. We're the who's who because in this room, we have our world's greatest brands. We have Tommy Hilfiger, PVH, Zappos, Target, Amazon Fashion, Nike, Ralph Lauren, Joseph Abboud, Macy's, Bloomingdale's. That's a tremendous roster right there.
You have great presence on stage. Very well done. So that was not in Amsterdam. I'm remiss in saying that. That's actually one of your events here in New York City.
Yes.
And that was outstanding. Number one, the fact that it's come to fruition, number one. And number two, that all these vital manufacturers, retailers are on board right now.
Yes.
Fantastic. So who are you going out for next and where do you want to be 5 years from now?
I love that question. I don't generally want to go after brand specific. What my vision is and really where I want this to be in 5 years is that every mainstream brand, no matter the demographic of it, I want to go from Walmart to Gucci because, as you mentioned previously, disability knows no background. It doesn't care how much money you make. It doesn't care where you're living. It can affect you at any time in your life. So we really want to be able to have adapted product for everybody that needs it. So where I would love Runway of Dreams to be in 5 years is to continue and be the voice of people with disabilities in closing that gap between the fashion industry and people with disabilities, so that we live in a world that every mainstream brand has adaptive versions of their clothing, and even further than that, takes it to the level of having people with disabilities work in their companies, on their runways, in their ad campaigns. I want it to be a full integration so that people with disabilities are just people.
Absolutely. And we're talking about a basic right. I know we touched on this before in our conversation, but it's so vital to underscore that having a disability, I believe, makes you more resilient. It complicates your life. It's many, many things. But the basic right of just getting dressed, just you want it to be simplified. You want to be able to take all the arduous and challenging aspects and just make them more manageable. And thank you for doing so, because you're just making everyone's life a bit easier. And to feel good and to feel like, wow, you know what? That shirt does look good on me in this picture. And I don't feel like more of an outsider because I couldn't wear, you know, something that I projected and or saw in mainstream media. Not that mainstream media, we always want people to look like everyone in the magazines, because obviously there's a tug and pull there, because being in the fashion industry and selfies and everything that we see online. But it's a great place to arrive at since 2014 to be here in 2019. And it's fantastic to see you partnering with Zappos on March 27th for a huge event.
Yes.
Conference in Vegas.
Yes.
And nothing's going to stay in Vegas, because this is going to happen everywhere. The ripple effects will be endless.
Yes, that's correct. This is we're so excited about this up and coming runway show that we are taking on the road to Vegas, and with an incredible collaboration with Zappos and Zappos Adaptive, which really is mainstreaming adaptive product from mainstream brands like Tommy Adaptive to smaller designers like Able Denim. And they are very revolutionary in the way that they're approaching it. But taking the show on the road, so to speak, is such an important thing to do, because, again, people with disabilities are everywhere. And having it outside of New York and having it represented in Vegas, where we're having models that are in the Vegas area, from LA, it just shows the cross-section that people with disabilities are consumers, and they are everywhere. And we hope that we can continue to hit all major cities. And that's a big goal of ours, to put people with disabilities on runways everywhere.
Was that one of your first cities to choose from?
Yes.
Why there?
Because of the great partnership with Zappos, and that's where their headquarters.
Sure, of course. And of course, in the fall, we have one of the most iconic events in New York City,
yes.
Fashion Week.
Correct.
And you kick it off. Runway of Dreams kicks it off.
We do, last year was our first year of kicking off Fashion Week, and it was so incredibly well received with the media, in that, you know, times are changing, and that this is really showing that people come in all different shapes, sizes, and abilities. And that is really something that is needs to be part of our mainstream vernacular.
Absolutely, every day.
Yeah.
My saying was, when I speak to audiences, my difference makes me stronger. Mm. Everyone's different, and you want to be different. Sometimes when you have a disability, you want that difference to be less.
Yes.
And less noticeable. We were talking about before we were live today about my disability is an invisible disability. And sometimes that's a good thing, because you don't want to be apparent and overt. We want to be Mark. We want to be John. We want to be Brenda, whatever that case may be. But there's certain times in life that, you know what, you got to wave that flag, the Runway of Dreams flag, and say, here we are. We put a stake in the ground, and this is what we're doing. We're serving the incredible, incredible, large, very profitable community.
Yes.
So tell me about the actual Runway of Dreams Fashion Week kickoff, because this is such an exciting week here in New York City. The Big Apple, it becomes, you know, just the talk of the world. And talk about exactly some of the events and how it kicks off and how excited the attendees are, and more importantly, the runway models.
Well, I am so thrilled to say that we have heard from the attendees, and these are mega brands, mega global brands, that this has become their favorite event of the year.
Wow.
You know, I think from also the perspective of the industry that, you know, I love the fashion industry, as you know, I've been in it my whole career, but it has certainly been touted as exclusive and, you know, not curing cancer and things like that. And
Surface,
exactly.
Shallow.
And now people that work in the fashion industry feel that they're doing something for the good of the world.
Well, you flip that. I mean, this is the antithesis of everything that an outsider perceives.
Yes.
This is humanity. These are people's feelings. This is their image.
Yes. I mean, there's without a doubt a direct correlation, and actually this has been proven in psychiatry, of a direct correlation between what you wear and how you feel about yourself. And so, therefore, we are affecting.
Is it called the Runway of Dreams effect?
Oh, I'd like to call it that. Yeah. Yes.
Freud was way ahead of his time.
I love that. Yes. It's the ROD effect, yes. Obviously. But what the industry now is really realizing that they can have effect on people's lives while they live it. And just being a part of that by showing them on our runways the depth of the disabilities out there, and from kids to adults to the aging population, everybody needs to feel good about what they wear. And no better place to show that than during Fashion Week. And it has really, what I love what you just said, that we feel as well, is that we're putting a stake in the ground, that change is here. And now we want other brands and other retailers on their runways to have people with disabilities represented, because the time is now.
So in September 4th, to be exact, when someone attends your Runway of Dreams event, would they see a collaborative runway with able-bodied models and models with disabilities?
We do have able-bodied models coming down the runway with other models. We are still in a state right now that we do want to put the spotlight on people with disabilities. And those that are able-bodied on the runway are kind of secondary.
Yes.
And we do
Understood.
That very purposely.
Yes, yes. The reason why I ask, because I would want more exposure for that world we just touched on.
Yes.
That it's a great eye-opening experience and education for not only the models, but the manufacturers.
Absolutely.
To say, hey, you know what? They have to get made up a certain different way, or maybe the preparation is different. Maybe they need a separate changing area, or dressing area. And going back to the video we just watched a few minutes ago, the first one, look how excited they were when they were getting the makeup put on and just beaming to be there.
Yes.
To feel like they were part of just, first of all, just being happy to be invited.
Yes.
But to being part of a gargantuan movement is, you know, can't put a price on it.
And they are. And every member of the population of people with disabilities is a part of it, because I couldn't have done it without them. I learn every single day from them. Again, I know my world with Oliver. I'm an expert in that, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be where I am without the population by my side.
Minnie, before I let you go, please
yes.
touch on the school that you founded a couple years back, quickly.
Oh, back in the day when I was...
Back in the day.
Yeah. I had co-founded a school for kids, ages 6 to 18. It was a fashion design school where we taught sewing and construction and pattern making and fashion illustration. And it was really wonderful to see, you know, the next, again, generation.
Well, that's interesting. So it's in your DNA to culture a future generation,
yes.
to provide. And that's great, because I think no matter what field you're in, you know, it takes a community, it takes a
yes.
village. And I believe that to be true. And I believe that everyone should give back. And you certainly have done more than that. And that's great, because that probably got your feet wet for this endeavor, Runway
definitely
of Dreams.
Did. It definitely was a wonderful precursor for the, you know, next part of my life that I didn't even know was ever going to happen. I mean, if you had asked me 20 years ago what my future was going to be, I was going to be the next Betsy Johnson. And that was that was how it was going to be.
Okay, full disclosure, who is she?
Oh, that's she's an iconic fashion designer.
Okay,
she's
sorry.
Very recognizable. Google her.
Okay.
You would know her.
I would
and
know.
And she's my kind of hair.
Does she have gray hair and
she
dresses
like
very wildly?
Crazy. She dresses wild, but she is like crazy, all different color
okay.
hair. She's amazing. And she was very iconic in her day.
So for people listening who would think this is great, Runway Dreams existence, but they need something like websites. Can you give one or two websites and or are there links on runwayofdreams.org? Two different websites where they can get adaptive clothing.
Absolutely. Yes. They can certainly go to runwaydreams.org, but also they can go to tommy.com and see the Tommy adaptive product line. Target has the Cat and Jack adaptive line. Zappos has Zappos adaptive. So there's, thank God, a lot of really amazing opportunities out there.
So I can't let you go without asking you the million-dollar question.
What's that?
Without addressing the elephant in the room. Who are you wearing?
I love to cross-dress, so to speak.
How did you know that about me? I'm a cross-dresser.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
See, I admitted this on live air.
Yes, but I am very loyal to Alice and Olivia.
Mindy Shire, Executive Director of Runway of Dreams. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. We are so honored to have been on the show.
Oliver is so fortunate to have you and your husband as
parents.
I am
equally as fortunate.
Yeah, and your kids. And for being the mother of persons with disabilities everywhere.
Thank you.
You have a heart of gold.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Farrell. The show has been Insight on the Progressive Radio Network. If you'd like me to speak at your school, college, corporation, or more, check out markfarrellmotivation.com on overcoming adversity, anti-bullying, resiliency, drugs and alcohol, yes, mental health, and more. All from personal experience. Sad to say so, but it's a good way. Gary Knowles next, the founder of PRN. Thank you very much. Have a great day.